Thanks for taking time to listen to this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center. In this podcast, we have the pleasure of sharing a special message titled World Impact. Delivering this message is Dr. Howard Foltz. Dr. Foltz is a specialist in missions, having helped missions agencies around the world plant thousands of churches. Now let's join Dr. Foltz.
Calvary Temple in Denver, where I served as the executive pastor, and Dr. Foltz had been saved there as a young man and was mentored there by Dr. Blair, as I was. And Howard went on to be a missionary, and he spent a lot of years in Europe and in the Middle East. In fact, he was the guy that was tasked with launching Teen Challenge overseas. And so today, Teen Challenge Global really is the result of the work that Dr. Foltz did. He then went on from that to serve as the head of the missiology department at Regent University. He was a professor, and he also founded and he to this day leads AIMS, A-I-M-S. It stands for Accelerating International Missions Strategies. And what a great title and what a needful ministry that is in this day where the harvest is great. We need to accelerate our efforts and our strategies to get into the harvest. He's a passionate missionary. He's a brilliant scholar. He's one of the smartest guys I know. Don't tell him I said that. And I guess best of all, Dr. Foltz is a great commissioned man. And so I want you to put your hands together and give a great welcome to Dr. Howard Foltz as he comes to share with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ray. And good morning, Portland Christian Center. What a joy to be here in the great Northwest. I had the joy of living in Germany for many years when we were planning Teen Challenge ministries around the world. This reminds me a little bit of Germany and the weather even. So it's great to be here. Good to be with my old friend. Now, I'm old, he's young, Pastor Ray, and I'm so thankful for this church and who you are and what you're doing around the world for God's glory. I would call this a major fountainhead type church. So I'm thankful for how you're being used of the Lord to flow with His Word and the water of life to the very ends of the earth. So those who are thirsty, never heard the name Jesus before. So that's why I live and why I draw breath. My wife and I have been married now for 50 years. I wish she could be here this morning. She would love this place. Yeah, we decided we're going to try it for a couple more weeks, see if we can work this thing out, you know. And so we've been in missions cross-culturally for 49 years. And there are two big units of our lives together. First of all, 22 years in Teen Challenge in Texas. So for a Colorado boy to go to Texas, that's cross-cultural ministry. But we worked in the inner city with Hispanics and African Americans, and that was great. Then the Lord sent us overseas in 69. We did that another 16 years. So 22 years in Teen Challenge. 23 at Regent University doing AIMS together. I'll be sharing AIMS with you this morning. So when I retired from being a professor in 2008, I said, Lord, give me 24 more years. So that's what we're asking God for, to do what we do around the world for reaching the unreached. We've been doing this since 1985. We started keeping more accurate records in 1995, and since 1995, we've been able to train about 115,000 national pastors, and out of that, nearly 35,000 churches have been planted. Praise God. And that has brought about 2.2 million people into the kingdom of God. So you can see why I don't want to quit doing this. It's just too fruitful. And so as long as I have breath, like I told my students at Regent, if I'm in a wheelchair, just wheel me up on a plane and I'll go somewhere. So while I was at Regent, I was doing AIMS across the country, going out and doing conferences and seminars and churches to help them focus on the Unreached, to go overseas 5 or 6 times a year. It's a busy life. Had 2 full-time jobs, like my pastor, Charles Blair. He was my model and my dearest friend. And we are dog lovers, Pat and me. And when we were living in Virginia, we had a dog named Caleb. And, familiar name to you? Okay. Let me introduce you to the four-legged Caleb. He got sick, couldn't stop scratching, so Pat took him to the vet, and the vet gave him a big pill that he was to take every day to alleviate his scratching. And so, being the gray-haired old guy I am, I started turning gray at age 29 when we went to Holland, and that was good because they thought I was a wise old man. So I was getting ready to leave for Houston one Saturday morning, big rush. Got my vitamins out, laid them on the kitchen counter. Pat got Caleb's medicine out, laid it on the kitchen counter, yeah. And 5 minutes later, we're looking all over for his medicine, and you probably have guessed it. I took it. Now, the good news is I didn't scratch all weekend. Couldn't stop barking, though. So that was my life for 23 years. Not his medicine every weekend, but it was great. And now we're glad to be living in Colorado Springs, and we're Rocky Mountain people. And just glad to come to churches like this and trust God to be part of what you're doing long term. Now, on my book table, there's a book called Operation World. I encourage you, through God's power of prayer, operate on the world. How about that? Today, we're guided to pray for Latin America. We'll start going to the countries of the world, starting with Afghanistan. You'll learn a lot about God's world that Jesus died for. Every student of mine at Reach University, this is part of their syllabus. I said, how can you be called to be a pastor, missionary, or whatever, and not pray for the world Jesus died for? So here you are. It's on the book table. If we run out of books, you can order them through our Ames website, Amazon, whatever. So I want to invite you to come tonight. I'll be sharing on understanding Islam, loving Muslims. I'll be sharing a little bit of my friend Kamal Salim's testimony. And I'll also be showing you a video of another friend of mine who was saved through visions and dreams out of radical Islam in Egypt. He's been through our training. He's now pastoring a church on the Nile River in what we call Upper Egypt, up towards the big reservoir. So come tonight, learn how to understand Islam more, and more importantly, how to enter the world of Islam and share Jesus with Muslims. Now, this morning I want to talk about faith promise principles. I want to talk about your investment into the kingdom of God. We also call this grace giving. And I want you to be very, very sure that what I'm sharing with you works because it's biblical. And I've seen it work in churches all over America and in church movements all over the world. I was called to go to Ghana. Friend of mine, Pastor Alfred Niamichi, pastor of House of Faith, a church at that time of 2,000 people. He said, Dr. Fultz, you got to come. We're not doing missions. We need to know how. Said, I'll come. So he gave me a whole week. I was a one-man band, morning, afternoon, and evening. Taught them on how to mobilize for missions, planning churches. But I taught them how to live to give instead of living to get. I taught them how to develop sustainable church planting movements. So at the end of that seminar, they asked me to come back. They were very insistent that I come back. They said, come back and say it next year, word for word, like you said it this year. I said, well, I'll try that. I'll come back if you get 25 Ghanaian missionaries that are certified by their network or denomination. They're good to go. They're going to go to the animists, those who worship evil spirits, or to the Muslims, to the unreached. And at the end of the training, will apply faith promise principle teaching and take offerings for them to go. So I went back. We had 4,500 pastors. It was dynamite. Some of them were standing outside, but they were faithful all week long to listen to every word. At the end of the week, we listened to those 25 missionaries, their call, where they're going to go. Then I received faith promises for them. They needed support to go. We are not going to give any U.S. dollars. It's all going to be Ghanaian, what they call CDs. Not CD, but CIDI, CDs. And so it took about 45, 50 minutes, but the end of that time, there was 4 to 5 years of Ghanaian support for 25 missionaries. They went to the Muslim groups. They went to villages that were dominated by evil spirits run by witch doctors. God began working through them to plant churches. We tried to keep up with it, but it was so exponential we couldn't. And we quit counting at 1,500 churches they planted. And it's still going on. And they're sending missionaries out to other countries beyond Ghana. So faith promise principles, they work. And they'll work for you. Now also, Pastor Ray has been to Ethiopia. He and I were both introduced to Ethiopia by our pastor, Charles Blair. I was saved in that church, age 19, DU, Denver University student. Knew nothing about giving, nothing about growing in Christ, but Pastor Blair discipled me. And every Sunday, he would usually say, just remember, 1/3 of all of our revenue out of Calvary Temple is going to missions. He said that so often, I thought it was in the Bible. And I went to other churches after I started Bible school and found out that even in some so-called missionary churches out of certain denominations, they were not really living to give. Thank God you are. And I want to share with you today how you can leverage your financial flow out of Portland Christian Center to double and triple, quadruple your missionary impact. I saw it happen in Ethiopia. We trained pastors. I taught them in faith promise giving, Pastor Blair and me. Then we went back. They brought together over 300 missionaries. Here's one of them. His name is Ganana. He's my one-legged missionary. His right leg stops right here. We had these missionaries and pastors together. It's actually my third training there. I've been to Ethiopia 22 times. Ames without me another dozen times or so. And I asked the leader of this denomination, now can he really go? He's only got one leg. There are no telephones back there. There's no hospital. Can he really? Oh, don't worry about Ganana. He's a powerful evangelist. He'll be a great missionary. So we sent him. We provided some Jesus films and a projector, some Bibles. The Ethiopians, they raised money to support these missionaries. And eventually they raised the equivalent of $17,000 a month out of Ethiopia. Ganana went. He went to a tribe of 18,000 animists. Never had the gospel before. Set up the projector, showed the Jesus film. That's a film on the life of Christ out of the book of Luke. They were so aghast at this equipment that they just couldn't do anything for a couple nights. But the third night, demons started to come out of people during the film. And then people were healed by the power of God. And Ganana began planting churches. And then about 6 months later, God spoke to Ganana, there's another tribe waiting for you. Follow animal trails back in the bush. I'll lead you to that tribe. Now, I ask you, would you do something wild and crazy like this? Just hear God and obey God? Well, that's part of faith promise giving. So Ganana got a donkey, threw his stump of a leg over the donkey, got some new converts, got the projector and film, and they started going up these animal trails. They went 7 hours. Now that takes tough love and tough obedience. But they came to this tribe. They were not as big as the first one, maybe 10, 11,000 people. And when they saw Ganana, they asked in their vernacular, which Ganana and his team could speak, why did you come? And Gunnina said, to tell you about Jesus. They said, Jesus? Who's Jesus? Is he an Addis Ababa, a political leader? Who's Jesus? Said, well, come tonight, we're going to show you a film about Jesus. And so it took an extra day, but they showed the film night after night, and the same breakthrough happened. Demons were cast out, and people healed by the power of God. So I ask you, was it worth it for churches, even like yours, to send me to Ethiopia to do what Pastor Ray and Petros is doing? Was it worth it for the Ethiopians to send Gunnina there? Now there are dozens and dozens of churches in those two tribes. Hallelujah. So, friends, this works. Malaysia, we have a big project in China. We have 16 strategic alliances around the world, and one of them is in China for the house church movement. When I started in China, there were probably about 60 million believers. Now there are well over 100 million believers in China. That's being added to by 25 to 28,000 every day. New believers being birthed into the kingdom of God in China. But back when we started, they had very few Bibles. Now they're printing Bibles in China. Study Bibles are needed, so we've moved on to that. But we got a vision to provide little Bibles with a vinyl cover. They're very tough Bibles that could be passed from believer to believer in China, because the way they were reading the Bible is one person would have a handwritten copy of the book of John, another person would have a handwritten copy of Philippians, and they come to a house church meeting. Maybe it's 11 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning. It depends on the police. And they would trade their portions of Scripture. I saw a Bible there held in the hand by one of my partners, a completely hand-copied Bible in Mandarin Chinese. It had a hand-installed leather cover on it. I asked her to show it to me, and I held it in my hand, and I said, Sister Kim, what are these blotches on the Bible? She said, oh, people I give it to had never seen a Bible, and when they hold it in their hands, they start weeping, and those were tear stains. I'm a Bible hog. Maybe you are too. We have different translations, but they had never held a Bible in their hands. So I was sharing in Malaysia about the need for Bibles in China, and we took faith promises. Businessmen came at the end of the service, and they said to the two elders and to me, we weren't ready. We didn't know what you're going to do. Now, this might be new to you today, what I'll be sharing. And you have an opportunity to pray today and next weekend and announce to God and to the church what your faith promise will be. So they begged us for another opportunity to give. Now, when people beg you to be able to give, what do? You gave them another chance. So it went on for 3-4 weeks. They generated $250,000 for Bibles for China. Of course, it's Malaysian money, but that's the equivalent. I took that faith promise amount to the Bible League in Chicago, where we buy the Bibles. I said, if you'll match it, I'll raise another $250,000. And we did that. And we were able to get 1.4 million Bibles into China. And the Bible League did research on the ground. They said, Howard, for every Bible that you've taken in, and we took them in out of Korea, we took them in all kinds of ways. Businessmen took them in containers because they started businesses in China for mission purposes. So the Bible League said, for every Bible you've taken in, about 5 Chinese have come to Christ. So multiply 1.4 by 5. Thank God for millions of believers. Now, was that worth it for faith promise giving? Yes. It had eternal results and eternal fruit. I was teaching in India to a group of 160 pastors, and they got mad at me for teaching giving. And I was kind of taken back. Then I found out that all 160 of these pastors were supported out of America. They weren't even teaching tithing in their churches. So I needed to ask God for a big paradigm shift. And I taught faith promise giving three times. Finally, the poverty mentality broke. I've seen it on the heads and the minds of people almost physically. As national pastors and leaders understand that they are to live to give instead of live to get. They're not to depend upon America and the West. They're to generate wealth out of their context, out of their churches. And the poverty mentality broke. I don't know if you'd have the poverty mentality. There are some in America that do. I hope you don't. But let it break today. Live to give, don't live to get. God is a giver. If we're going to be like God, we will love the world like He loves the world and will live to give. Hallelujah. So, God broke them in India and they began teaching tithing and faith promise giving. They adopted five unreached people groups and they began starting house churches. I got a report 8 months later that they had started well over a dozen house churches. A year later, they raised up a missionary, had a PhD degree from the University of Delhi, and they sent this missionary with Indian rupees, Indian money, they sent this missionary to Bangladesh. Now that's the Bible, friends. So I'm going to be sharing with you these principles out of God's Word that I trust God you will apply to your life. So what is a faith promise? It's an amount you trust God to provide through you for world missions. You do it through your church. Now, I want you to understand, God can't really do anything through you until you let Him do something in you. So you need to hear God. Let Him speak to you. You need to have a heart broken for the lost. Love like God and let Him work in you and through you for His glory. It's a step of faith that God will provide. You might hear from God to provide a faith promise that you don't know where it'll come from, but you're taking a step of faith. This is what missionaries do. That's how I went to the field in 1969. All these churches said they would help us, but it was a step of faith to go to Europe and the Middle East and South Asia. So I'm asking you to take a step of faith today like the missionaries do. It's a commitment between you and God. And it's a privilege of joining in God's work. Hallelujah. My wife and I have been doing faith promise giving for 50 years. I wouldn't live any other way. I would never think of just getting by with paying tithes. I want to give the 11th on up to the 20th percent and live to give instead of live to get. What a privilege. So here's how it works. Oh, do you like puppies? Okay, there they are. Now, don't pull this out right now. I'll refer it to you later. This is your World Missions Faith Promise card. And my wife and I are dog lovers. We got a dog named Rafa right now, which is in the Hebrew to heal. So he's supposed to be a healer of our broken hearts of our last dog that died. And so I was sharing this in a church to some people that raised show dogs. The DNA of their dogs was registered. And so they had several female dogs that would give birth to puppies. So the one main dog that had puppies, they would sell those for $500, $600, $700. And they're praying over this card. So they were holding the card in their hands, said, "Lord, speak to us." And God gave them amount. They kind of said, "Lord, I don't know how we'll generate that." But when God speaks to you, what do? I lived in Norfolk and Virginia Beach, a military community. When a general says something to a private, that private says, "Yes, sir." So when God speaks to you, say, "Yes, sir." Write the amount down. They did that, the puppy people. They didn't know where it come from. But their main female dog got pregnant. Instead of having 4 or 5 puppies like usual, she had 9 puppies. $500 each made their faith promise. Hey, go into all the world and have puppies. Amen. And my wife leads all of our dogs to the Lord. They're all born again dogs. We're going to see Him in heaven. So that's how it works. You hear God, you obey God and trust Him. But the faith promise is not the tithe. The tithe is not really giving. It belongs to God already. So you start giving at the 11th percent. It's not a church pledge. It's between you and God. The church doesn't even need to know about how much it is, other than it's good for them to add up so they can make strategic plans. Nobody's going to follow you up. It's between you and the Lord. And it's not a foolish commitment. You hear from God and you're obeying God. That's how it works. There was a lady in one church I was at. Her husband earned a big salary. She didn't work. He didn't want to pay tithes. Finally, she prayed him through, and he started paying tithes. Make a faith promise? No. She wanted to. So she is at the altar of the church and praying over her card, and she said, Lord, what do you want me to trust you for? And God spoke to her, gave her. She laughed out loud. She said, God, I can't do that. My husband earns the money. I don't have any money. I'm just trusting you. And God gave her the amount, said, write it down. And here's how it works. You hear God, you obey God, and God keeps on speaking to you. You hear God and don't obey God, and do that enough, and your heart will start to get hard, and you won't hear God like you should. When she wrote that amount down, God spoke to her again. Take in washing and ironing. Oh, she didn't want to do that. She didn't even iron her husband's shirts. Sent him to the shirt laundry. But here God said, take in washing and ironing, and all the money you earn, you'll pay your faith promise. So she put out handbills in her neighborhood. Her friends came to her. Susie, what's going on? Is Henry leaving you? What's happening? You're getting a divorce? Why do you need to take in washing and ironing? Oh, I'm doing it for the missions program in my church. Oh, you do that? Well, you can have our laundry. I didn't want it anyway. And so 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day. Susie had never witnessed. She had never won a soul to Jesus. She began to grow in witnessing as well as giving. She became the leader of the women's program of her church. You see, when you obey God in one area, He expands all the other areas. And then God spoke to her again, I'm going to have people come and give you money and put it in a savings account, and I'll tell you when to give it to a project. So following weekend, two of her friends came, gave the laundry. One gave $500, said, our church is not into missions, yours is. Here's $500. You give it to missions. Another one, here's $125. You give it. People walk up in the shopping center and give Susie, the missions laundry lady, money for missions. She put it all in a savings account, saved it for nearly 3 years. There's a missionary in her church going back to Africa, stood up and said, I failed. I've been in America for a year raising money for my Bible college. I needed $43,000 more. I don't have it. Pray for me. I need a miracle. Susie was his miracle. And when did the miracle start? Years before, when she prayed over a faith promise card. Set God free and your faith free to work in and through you in a new way. And believe God for miracles, financial miracles, miracles of harvest. Susie got her savings passbook out of her purse, opened it up. She had $43,009. And she built that Bible school. That was all money that had been given to her. Now, I want you to understand this. This never would have happened if Susie hadn't sat in a meeting like this and prayed over a faith promise guard and trusted God for miracles. What about you? It works, friends. Let God work in you and through you. Susie never said, look what I've done. She always said, hey, look what God's done through me. And it was awesome how God has used her. Let me give you some biblical principles that underpin all of this. Number one, faith promise giving confirms our covenant relationship. God has promised to give us the ability to generate wealth and produce wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And He so confirms His covenant. which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Now, look at this word ability in the Hebrew. That's the original Old Testament language. It's koach. And this means power. It means the ability to create and innovate. It means strength and capacity. So the puppy people received new capacity by faith. Susie received new innovation by faith, and they generated some miraculous wealth that they never dreamed they could generate before. I'm asking you today, you do this. Ask God to use you. He might speak to you to start a new business. He might speak to you to, well, Susie took in washing and ironing. I don't know. But let God speak to you and let him work in and through you to generate wealth so you can double, triple, quadruple the missions program of Portland Christian Center. So God's blessings seal our covenant relationship with him. But you and I need to, by obedience, seal this covenant relationship with God. So next we become covenant connectors. So we are covenant people. We are asking God to give us the ability to generate wealth, not for a new bigger car or a new addition on, but for bringing in a harvest. Amen? You can be wealthy and be used of God in miraculous ways to even generate more wealth, right? In another church, there was a man who came to the altar and he was repenting during the missions conference. He said, Lord, my business has gone belly up and I can't make a faith promise. God told him, yes, you can. He said, well, God, I only got $73 in the bank. And God says, make a faith promise and start tithing. God convicted him because he had not tithed. And God said, that's why you went belly up. So he said, I'll tithe and I'll make a faith promise. He leaped out on faith, wrote something down. A year later, he had received a new idea for another business, started a snack business all over the metroplex of that city. And a year later, he is making another faith promise. And he wrote down $125. It was not a month, it was not a week, but it was a day. He had been vaulted out of bankruptcy into wealth. Now he gives 60% of his income to missions on top of his tithe. Hey, that's better than being bankrupt, isn't it? So let God speak. Now he became a covenant connector. Here's what the Bible says about being a covenant connector. Isaiah 49:8, this is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you. And I will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and reassign its desolate inheritances. I want you to study this verse later. There's six different ways God blesses. But there are two results of this. I want to concentrate here. The first result is that he restores the land that Satan has in his evil grasp. Secondly, he reassigns souls out of the kingdom of darkness, translates them into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah! So that's what you do with faith promise giving. That's what you do with witnessing. You are part of a restoration team. You are part of a reassigning team. You will partner with missionaries, help them go, and help them see souls liberated out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. So become a covenant connector for God's glory. Number three, faith promise giving comes out of relationship. I said you need to let God work in you so he can work through you. That's a relationship. Abraham did this. He was called to generate a missionary nation called Israel. The promises of God were all wrapped up in his only son, Isaac. God spoke to him in Genesis chapter 22 to make a new commitment, a very unusual and hard one. Take Isaac, his son, on top of Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. Abraham heard God and obeyed God. He had faith that God would raise Isaac from the dead. So he got some servants. They were going up the mountain. And They were all walking this pathway of obedience. In Genesis 22:8, Isaac said, "Dad, we got the wood and the fire, but where's the offering for the sacrifice?" In verse 8, and I ask pastors when I do this overseas to read Genesis 22 10 times. Now I'm Professor Emeritus, so I can give you an assignment. Read Genesis 22 10 times. And Abraham spoke to Isaac, his son. He said, "Don't worry, son. God himself will provide the sacrifice." Now that's the New International Version. Listen to the King James, the New King James Version. It says, "God will provide for himself." Now, himself in the NIV comes in front. Himself in the New King James comes after. Here's the twist in the Hebrew language. Listen to me very carefully. It is saying God himself will provide through Susie the laundry lady, through the puppy people, through the bankrupt businessman, through you and you and you. God himself will provide through you for himself for his harvest. Hallelujah. So allow God to speak to you and have this kind of relationship, and he'll become a witness to your faith. Abraham called the top of that mount, and this is the mountain where the original temple was built. He called it the Mount of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. And so you meet him there as a source of provision. And then God told him, "Remember, your seed will be like the sand, you'll be like the stars, and you'll be a blessing to every family, every community, all the people groups on earth." Hallelujah. So God had given Abraham a great commission, and here's the type of obedient pathway that fulfills the Great Commission. Number four, our giving should be generous giving. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. So it all depends on how you sow. The secret is in the sowing. You don't put your seeds as a farmer into a storage bin. You sow them. So I'm asking you, sow your faith and sow your resources today for God's glory. Our giving should be personalized. I ask you, do you have God's heart? God's heart is a broken and a bleeding heart for the lost. And here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man, each woman, each boy and girl. I'm challenging you today. The goal for this missions conference is 100% involvement in faith promise giving. Every child that gets an allowance, make a faith promise. Maybe it's a quarter a month, maybe it's a dollar a month. Every teenager, make a faith promise. Every young struggling couple, make a faith promise. Every senior saint, make a faith promise. 100% participation. You do that and you'll double and triple and quadruple your missions program. So what do? The volition is where we decide. That's in our heart. And so you decide in your heart. Don't be reluctant. We're not twisting your arm. Be cheerful. Amen. Let your heart lead you in giving. You don't give under compulsion, and you should give cheerfully. So our giving releases God's great blessing. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. All, abound every. Hallelujah. So he makes all grace abound to us. He gives us all that we need. That comes out of our relationship with God, hearing him and obeying him. And our giving should challenge and stretch us. Now see, the Apostle Paul was sending apostolic teams throughout the churches, and they were casting out a vision of the need of the suffering in Jerusalem because of the famine. And so the apostles would receive an offering in these churches. They'd take a faith promise, and then they'd come back through, and they'd collect the faith promise. And so Paul told the Corinthians, I want you to look at the grace. Now, in the Greek language, grace infers motivation and an impulse to respond to God and to give. So the Macedonians had this motivation to give out of their most severe trial. They had overflowing joy. Out of their extreme poverty, they welled up in rich generosity. They gave as much as they're able, and they gave beyond their ability. That's the faith promise. And so God used the Macedonians, even though they're under trial. You and I are not under trial like they were. We're not under trial like those in China and Egypt and other places where I go. They gave out of their poverty according to the average income of the rest of the world. We are rich people in this room. You might think you're poor, but actually we're rich. And so they gave beyond their ability. They gave with overflowing joy. And then we should always give ourselves first. The Macedonians, Paul said, urgently pleaded with us for the privileges. They were like the Malaysians, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will, pleading for the opportunity to give. Give yourselves first before your resources. So this is grace giving, friends. Working together for the kingdom. An object lesson for the church I saw in Africa. I went to a leper colony, and I saw a group of lepers that were farmers. There was one leper who had no arms, but he had legs. Another leper had no legs, but he had arms. How did they farm? Well, they were strapped together. The man with no legs was strapped to the chest of the one who had legs. So here they, between them, they had two arms, two legs. They went out, they plowed the field, they sowed seed, and they brought in a harvest. So I'm asking you today, partner with your missionaries, partner with Petros, and bring in a harvest. Partner with others and stand on their shoulders for God's glory. So we should care for one another like the lepers cared for one another, and together they brought in a harvest. So there's that African village. This exemplifies cooperative grace giving. But we should start with us. There's a young lady came to America from Africa. She got here on Saturday, went to church on Sunday morning. They're having a missions meeting on Sunday morning, her first Sunday in America. She didn't have a single piece of money on her person. They were taking a missionary offering. It came to her. She's on the edge of the row. She put the plate in the aisle, and she stood up, got everybody's attention. An African, spoke with an African broken accent, put one foot in the offering plate. She said, "This is my second day in America. I give my life to the Lord one more time to be used of Him here in America, and I'll bring my offering tonight." So I ask you today, put your life in the offering plate. Amen. And give yourself first and live to give. And this is a beginning. Some of you are already started. Some of you need to start. Live a life of fruitful investment into God's kingdom so you can help populate heaven and see a great host of souls brought into the kingdom through your prayers, your giving, your witness. So what will your commitment be? Well, I want you to pray for it. And I want you to pray over this card. It's in the packet that Pastor Ray referred to. Can you find it real quickly right now? I want everybody to take this card and hold it in your hands. Be like the puppy people. Be like the missions laundry lady. Be like the bankrupt businessman. Hold this card in your hand and pray over it. And then today you might feel led to turn it in. This could be very new to you, and you need more time to talk to your wife or pray about this. Turn it in next week. Next week is going to be the big Faith Promise Collection Sunday, the day where we make an announcement to the kingdom of darkness. We are going deeper into your kingdom, and we're going to reassign those who are desolate and bring them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So God is asking you for your commitment. I want to pray for you right now and ask God to speak to you. And you pray, will you? And ask God to speak to your heart. And ask him for supernatural supply, miraculous word from him, and miraculous provision. Let's pray. Hold this card in your hands. Father, I thank you that we live in a land like we live in. I thank you that we can come to this great church. Lord, there are 2.8 billion people around the world. That's the big waiting world of the unreached. We pray, Lord, that somehow you'll generate new resources through our relationship with you so we can send out more missionaries, do more training, see more churches planted. So God, use every one of us. And Lord, I pray for Portland Christian Center that every person that has money passed through their lifestyle, they'll make a faith promise. Whether it be a quarter, a dollar, or $100 a month, Lord, speak to people and do miraculous provision as a result of our obedience. I ask in Jesus' name and for your glory. So, this is your opportunity for your commitment and your fruitful investment into God's kingdom. God bless you, Portland Christian Center. I am with you. And I am, by being here now, part of you. And I'll believe, God, that you'll see your missions program exponentialize. Yes, us professors, we can invent new words. Exponential means 30, 60, 100-fold. So let God exponentialize your missions program for his glory. Amen? Amen. God bless you this morning. Pastor Ray.
Thank you. Would you say thank you to Dr. Fultz?
Yep.
That's what I call a stem winder of a sermon. And if you're furiously trying to take notes and couldn't keep up, I believe that's actually out there on a DVD or a CD that they could probably, you could buy and fill in the blanks. You know, we're not going to receive the faith promise cards today. We're going to do that next week because I want you to pray about it. That's kind of the rule we have around here. These kind of things, we say, God, what do you want me to do? And then we just obey. And if he says, don't do anything, which I doubt if he will, but if he does, then it's off you. But we just hear from God. We pray, we hear from God, and then we simply obey. And the reason that I want 100% participation, even the young people that are sitting here, even our kids down in the children's department are talking about this today and next week as well, is, yeah, I want us as a church to have a greater share in the harvest, the season of great harvest. I want us to have our share of this harvest. In fact, I want more than our share. I do want us to be the single greatest conduit of the Great Commission of any church in history to the glory of God. Why not? Why not believe that way? But more than that, or in addition to that, I want you to be blessed. And I know the road, the pathway to blessing is your generosity. You know, we gave, again this year, almost $1 million away to missions outside of this church. Almost a couple of years ago, we gave over $1 million. This year, we were right up to $1 million, and that is quickly going to become our benchmark for giving, I believe. But you know that represents only about a quarter of the people here participating in missions giving. And so I'm going to ask all of you, to begin to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? The amount doesn't count. It's the heart that matters. God wants our heart. And we can express that by praying about this and next week coming back and making that faith promise commitment, because that is the pathway to God's blessing. I think it's a pathway to him blessing your life physically, emotionally. I think we'll be a lot happier and fulfilled as we get on board in a greater way with the mission of God. I think relationally things begin to happen when we do that. But financially, I believe God will pour back, as the scripture we read before offering time, God will pour back into your life, into your bank account, into your business, the abundance of God as you step forward to take care of the things that God cares about. And that's his promise. That's his promise, not mine. The first services, we were praying over our faith promise cards. The Lord just really spoke to my heart, prompted my heart, that this is a moment, especially for some of you who are wrestling with some fear and some doubt and some unbelief right now. You're thinking, wow, I've heard that before. I'm not in the position now. I'm struggling with some things. I don't know if I could do that. I would just say now is the time. God is calling you to begin to lean into him and trust him in this, because this will represent the breakthrough that you've been praying for, that you've been hoping for in any of those areas I mentioned, but particularly in your finances, in your business. I believe this is going to be the breakthrough that God has for you. So we do this because I want PCC, we want PCC to be in this harvest, but I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed with the abundance of God. And any of the money that comes to this church through missions does not stay in this church. It doesn't go to for our ministries here. It doesn't increase my salary one iota. This is not about us. This is about the harvest that God is concerned about. And so let's just pray, and then let's obey, and then we'll see what God can do. I want you to stand with me for a final blessing. Let me encourage you to visit the book table before you go. Again, tonight we're going to look at a strategy for reaching the Islamic world and both abroad and right here in Portland. I hope you'll come back and be a part of that. Father, I pray, bless your people. Bless your children as they go. I pray that you would give them the courage to believe you and the faith to begin to pray and say, God, use me as a conduit. What would you want to do through me? And then, Lord, just that daring, risky faith to align ourselves with the mission of God, to be used as a conduit of the Great Commission in a financial way. God, lead us this week, and we will respond to you in faith and obedience and with great joy. Now, God, go with your people, I pray. Bless them abundantly and bring us back tonight to learn of your strategy for Portland Christian Center to reach this community with the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of God. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. See you tonight.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect or just visiting us here in Portland, please join us for one of our services. For more information about our church, you can find it right here on our website at pcctoday.com.